Good afternoon. My name is Reverend Diane Holt, and I am the director of Durham's Baby Cafe, which is located at 200 East Eagle Street, downtown Buffalo. And today, I was talking with a friend, and we were sharing different experiences, and I was telling her that I had taken the time to spend some time with self. How often do we spend time with ourselves? Life is so busy. Oh my God, it's always the hustle and bustle of getting to the next thing that needs to be done. Well, yesterday I had all intentions of following my chiseled in stone schedule that I had set aside for myself. But after my prayer and praise and worship, it was laid on my heart. Go do something that you desire to do today. And it's not like I don't do it, because I'm always encouraging everyone else to do it. But when I thought on it, it has been almost a year since the last time I sat down on any given day and did me time, something that was not scheduled, that was impromptu, something that just off the cuff came into my mind, stuff that I love doing, like doing, get enjoyment from doing. So I emptied my mop pail, wrung out my little sponge mop, put everything up and said, you know what? Today is a good day to do Diane. So I got into my car and I drove to my favorite place in the whole wide world. And everyone who knows what my favorite place is, you know it's Delaware Park, Hoyt Lake. Because you got benches there you can sit down on, but I always carry my own chair because I like to get as close as I can to the water without actually getting into it. And the benches are set back a little further on the grounds where you're not always rat on the water. And those that are close to the water, most of the time they're occupied by other people. So I take a chair with me. But anywho, I get to Delaware Park and I said, okay, it's warm. I take off my jacket. I got a little tank top on. So I said, what are you going to do first, Diane? You're here in the park. You're communing with nature. You're loving what you're doing. So what is your game plan? And I said, okay, the stairs. I love doing the stairs. I'll go up and down the stairs maybe, let's say, 4 times, and then I've got my exercise in. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. It had been so long since I did the stairs that after, I'll say the 3rd time halfway up, I turned around and came back down because I could feel myself feeling extremely tired. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to wear myself out the first day that I get back into the park. Well, I came and I sat in my chair. Of course, you know, I always have a book with me. And I pulled out the book and I said, you know what? I really don't want to read. I just want to observe my space. I want to observe the world that God has put me in. And I want to observe the beauty of nature. And God, I want to talk to you. So I talked to him and I sat quietly for about 15 minutes waiting to hear from him, and nothing seemed to drop in my spirit. So I talked to him a little longer and I waited and I talked and I waited, and all of a sudden in my spirit I had this urge where I wanted to tell myself, why don't you just shut up? Maybe he has nothing to tell you. So I closed my mouth and I got up, took my chair back to the car, and I decided that I would just start to walk around what would I call it? It's not even a walkway because it's not a running trail because it's all concrete brick. So anyway, never mind if I can't think of what you would call that pathway. I just started to walk and I was looking out at the water and I was looking up at the sky, and in my spirit, I just felt so much peace. I found my solace just walking and looking and looking and walking. And I was smiling at people as I walked past them. Most folks were speaking, "Hi, how are you today?" And I'm just fine, highly favored and blessed of the Lord. How about you? "Oh, I'm doing well also." And I'm like, okay, God, this is nice. So I walked back and I said, okay, what do I do now? Do I go home? And then I remembered the restaurant that my son Steve and I and Carly went to when he was here. And it's right there, all in one place, right there in the park. So I went up to the terrace. And I know it's a little costly to go in there. So I said, I think I better go get a jacket. I don't think too many people are going to be dressed truly casual in here. Well, I went back to the car and I got a jacket. Well, I'm glad I did because it was cold. Air conditioning is not the best thing in the world after coming out of a lot of heat. But anyway, nobody was really dressed up in there. But the bottom line is that the jacket did make me feel a little bougie, if one must say. But anyhow, I ordered my food. And I sat there and I ate my food. And the reason I like going into this place is because I can usually order something that I would never order at any other restaurant. And I sat there and I enjoyed my food. I stayed in there for about an hour and a half. And then I came back outside, went to the truck, and I got my chair. And I sat there and I pulled my book out. And I'm going to be honest with you, I dozed off to sleep. Now, I remember looking at my phone and it said 3:15, 16, something like that, when I was sitting there with the book open. And when I woke up, it was like 5:22. I was like, whoa, these folks probably think I'm on something sitting out here sleeping because I know I snore. But nonetheless, I enjoyed myself. Nobody bothered me. I had sat on my cell phone so no one could see my cell phone. And I was comfortable out in the open. Nobody bothered me. I wasn't bothering anyone. And I was enjoying me time. While I was sleeping, I can't say I had a dream or a vision, but I do recall going into a dream where I was on this little log floating out in like this big sea. And when I woke up, all of that was over. And if there was anything else that was in the dream, I have no idea what it was because I certainly don't remember it. But nonetheless, I got a chance to just rest. How often do we just rest in God and ourselves? How often do we just sit back and do nothing and our minds not rushing and racing away at 1,000 miles a minute because there's always that one next thing that needs to be done? Well, I stayed there in the park until probably about 20 minutes to 6. I came home, took a hot shower, fixed me something to eat, and put it in the oven because, of course, I really wasn't hungry, but I didn't want to not cook and not have anything to eat later on. And then I decided to catch up on my calendar work, and I did a little bit of that and a few phone calls. And that was the other thing I did. I turned my phone off. I did not take one phone call yesterday until after I came back in. And I'm taking my time to share this with you only because we need to encourage ourselves to take care of ourselves. I've got a friend who does reflexology, and she's always preaching about me time. And I'm always telling moms at Baby Cafe, you need some me time. You need time away from your job, time away from your pertinent other, time away from your children, time away from anything that's going to take time away from you. You need to learn how to enjoy being with yourself. Well, I just want to let you know that all went well yesterday. And I basically told myself, shame on me that I had not done this any sooner, because last year I had made a habit of going to Hoyt Lake at least 2 to 3 times a month. So it's not like a everyday or weekly kind of thing that I was doing, but I was spending time with me, getting to know who I am. And you know what? After spending time with myself, I can tell you, I really like who I am. It was a struggle getting to be and becoming the woman that I am today. Now, my main reason for this podcast, I wanted to share that with you, was that while I was in the park and thinking and reflecting on things, one of the things that came to mind was that I don't eat split pea soup. It's not because I don't like it. And I'll share with you why I basically do not eat split pea soup. In my younger part of my life, right after having my firstborn and moving back into the Buffalo area, I had what I call the perfect storm. That's what I had. You name it, it went wrong. Even to the point where I broke the base of the metatarsal on my right foot, where I couldn't even go to work. And because I was part-time, the little disability check that I received from disability was for $20. Now, don't get me wrong, times were not as expensive back then as they are now, because my rent was only $100 a month, and my utilities, of course, didn't run a bunch of money. But still, I did not make a lot of money back in those days as well. So anyway, back to the story that I want to tell you. I was waiting on an allotment check to come in, and because I had relocated back to Buffalo, it was really slow in coming. And because I had broke my foot and was only working part-time, my disability check was only $20 $20 for the month. And I needed far more than that to live. And with that $20, I decided that I was going to get through that month. I was not going to beg, borrow, or steal. I could have gone to my parents' home and shared with them my story. And I can tell you right now, my mother would have easily gave me some food, went out and bought some food or whatever. She would have made sure that I did not have to go through what I went through. But that pride, you know how you get that pride thing? I was determined that with God's help, I was going to make it. And I'm going to tell you, we did make it. I went out and bought enough food to last my baby for that entire month. And then when I thought about even before then, I bought, your basic essentials that you need to live, like your toothpaste, your laundry detergent, you know, all that stuff that you need to stay clean and fresh. I went out and bought that to make sure that I had enough for that month and the following month, because there was no guarantee how much money was going to come in. So anyway, I went and I took care of all of that. And then it was time to figure out what was Diane going to eat. And they had a case, and the case was 24, if I'm not mistaken, a case of 24 cans of split pea soup. And I know it was under $10 for that case of soup. And I bought the case of soup and I brought it home. And for lunch and dinner for an entire month, that's what I ate, split pea soup. Now, for breakfast, if my baby left anything in his plate, I became the garbage disposal. I ate anything that he left in his plate. That would be my breakfast. And, of course, every now and then, I would hang out with my friends and, of course, if I was at their house, they would offer me some of whatever they had to eat. And I would always make sure that I put my son at the table. And then whatever he left, I ate. And no one ever knew the struggle that I was in. No one ever knew that I was going through the changes. They thought the frown on my face was because of the pain that I was feeling from the broken foot. But no, it was a pain of being totally helpless, not really being able to depend on anyone or anything but God. And I had to learn that that was a good thing, because once you learn to depend on Him, everything else starts to fall into place. Well, to make a long story short, I lived, I got through it. Matter of fact, I was even skinnier than I was when I originally started my split pea soup diet. My dad used to always say I looked like Death standing on the corner eating Lifesavers. Well, I was eating Lifesavers. That was that split pea soup for me. And once that month was over with and everything, I guess you can say, assumed some form of normalcy, I said to myself, I'll never eat split pea soup again. Well, yesterday after sitting in the park, in my spirit, I kept hearing split pea soup, split pea soup. Go buy yourself a can of split pea soup. So I went and bought 2 cans of split pea soup and I brought it home. And today, at lunchtime, I opened a can of split pea soup. And I sat there, I ate it, and I enjoyed it. I was thinking about the struggle and how far I had come. I was thinking about the roads that I had to travel and the trouble that I've encountered in my lifetime. And I said to myself, everyone has a split pea soup story. It might be tuna fish for someone else. It might be bologna sandwiches for someone else. It might be Spam and Ham for someone else, but for me, it was split pea soup. And it made me think and become so grateful and thankful that I made it over that hill in my life. It wasn't a mountain, it was just a hill. And I made it over, and I made it safely. And I learned lots of things along that journey, and I'm truly thankful to be able to share this story with you. So I guess I'll title this episode, Everyone Has a Split Pea Story. So as we always end our podcast, we'll end it with, in everything that you do, always remember to let's talk baby talk. Goodbye. Good afternoon. My name is Reverend Diane Holt. I'm the director of Durham's Baby Cafe, located in downtown Buffalo, New York. It's a cloudy day today and not really warm, but considering what it could be this time of year, I am rejoicing. Well, it's been quite a while since I've done the broadcast, Let's Talk Baby Talk, because I've actually been trying to work on looking at how we can make this an audiovisual podcast, and it looks like things are finally beginning to fall into place. So pray for me as I pray for you, because we want to bring you better visual information so that you'll know exactly who's talking and where we are. Well, now, this past 2 weeks have been filled with so much information with regard to the Kavanaugh Senate hearings for his nomination to become a Supreme Court judge. Well, yeah, I do have my opinion, but that's not important at this time. What I want to really talk about with regard to his hearing is that I got an opportunity over the course of the past week to actually listen and watch videos of what the testimony was all about, his testimony and Dr. Ford's testimony. And as I sat there in awe and sometimes in shock as I watched both of them give their testimonies repeatedly, because as we know, the news plays things over and over and over again. But you know what? I see that as something good. And the reason I'm saying that is because by them doing so and me being able to look at all the different news media's take on how they're going to present the information, I think I got a pretty good clear picture of what was taking place there in D.C. Well, anyway, what I want to talk is about the sexual assault piece. Do I believe it occurred? Well, with the testimony that was given, yes, I do. I believe it did happen. And I'll share with you why I believe that happened. About a year ago, I preached a sermon from 2 Samuel, the 13th chapter. And I'll get back to that in a little bit, but I just want you to write that down because I want you to read it. 2 Samuel, the 13th chapter. Okay? Now, in my lifetime, 3 times I have been sexually assaulted. The first time was at age 12. It was a black male, an older family friend, who sort of pushed his way into my home when my parents weren't there. And I felt horribly guilty because I cracked open the door after being told not to open the door to anyone. Well, I heard his voice and I figured, oh, okay, he's safe. I'll crack the door and let him know that mommy and daddy are not home and that he can come back later. And I'll let them know that he had come by. Well, that was a wrong move on my part. When I cracked the door, this man, of course, was stronger than I was. He pushed his way in and he pressed himself up against me and he started touching me in places that I did not want to be touched. But I've always been a fighter all of my life. And I also knew that if he didn't kill me, my parents would. So I need him in his private area. And I was able to push him out of the door and lock the door after doing so. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I was so upset over that. And I blame myself. I didn't blame him. I blame myself because I cracked open the door so that he could push it open. How about that? A 12-year-old blaming herself for what a grown man did. He had to be close to 50 years old at that time. The second time, I was about age 14, and it was a black male, an older male, and he happened to be the pastor of the church that I was going to. His wife was sick, and we were like rotating, and when I say we, there were several females going in, helping with preparing the meals and cleaning the house because the wife was sick unto death. Eventually she did die. And I had heard rumors about that the pastor got a little fresh at times, but you know, I'm like, he ain't gonna get fresh with me. He ain't know my family. Well, was I wrong? He did more than just get fresh with me. He actually propositioned me, but I had sense enough to run out of there like I was on fire. And I got away from him, so that he didn't get an opportunity to follow through on the things that he was telling me that I should be able and should be willing, and because I would be blessing him and God if I did those things. Can you believe that? Woo! And when I got home, I thought about it for a little while, and I said, I put myself in that position because I was told that this man gets fresh. But I kept going back and never said nothing to my parents about it until he approached me. And the third time that it happened, I was age 25. And it was a white male, older. My direct administrative boss. All the rumors went around the agency where I worked that this man got fresh with every nurse in the place, and that if you ended up sitting next to him during a meeting, that he would put his hands on your knees and eventually try to place his hands in places that he should not. Well, I always made sure that I never sat next to this man, because I know that people will do things that you do not expect them to do. I had learned by that time. I had 2 attempts toward me, so I made sure that I never sat near him. Well, one day there was a meeting and we came downstairs, and I was a nurse and one of my patients needed something. So I addressed the need of the patient before coming down. So by the time I reached the meeting room, the only seat available was the one directly next to him. So I made sure that I scooted my chair closer to the other young lady who was on the opposite side of me, where I was almost in her lap. And she was sort of smiling and giggling because she knew why I was moving away from him. But he had never approached me, but I was trying to make sure that he would not. But then he adjusted his chair. And the next thing I knew, his hand was on my knee. And I moved that hand off my knee. And he put his hand back on my knee again. And I looked him in his face and I moved his hand off my knee a second time. And then the meeting went on for a little while longer. And then the next thing I know, his hand was back on my knee, moving up my thigh. And I screamed to the top of my lungs, "What is wrong with you? Get your hands from up under my dress." And there was like silence in the room. And the meeting was immediately dismissed. And the owner was in the room at the time. And she said, "The two of you stay." And I love that woman till this day. She said, "What did he do?" And I told her what he did. And she looked at him. He said, "Oh, no, my hand just accidentally fell over into her lap." I said, "3 times?" And she said, "Okay, you can go." Well, I'm happy to share with you that she dismissed him from working there. He no longer was an administrator there. But then still, until about age 36, I kept saying to myself, "Diane, you keep putting yourself in positions where people are approaching you and getting the wrong impression of who you are. Do you have a magnet for perverts, or what the heck are you doing? What's going on that people see you as a target?" And then one day I'm in church and we're reading the Bible and we're in 2 Samuel. And I got an opportunity to just sort of glance a few things there, because it wasn't expounded upon. And when I went home, I opened up my Bible and I read the entire section. And I'm sitting there saying, wow, even back then, during biblical times, men thought it was okay to approach women in sexual ways that they should not have. Because in 2 Samuel, King David had a daughter named Tamar. And Anunnam, her half-brother, became so obsessed with her that he raped her. She did tell her brother Absalom, but you know what he did? He told her, "Keep it to yourself, that's your brother." And she did. And she was miserable for doing so. And I think I'm taking the time to tell you that when we internalize that kind of garbage, we're miserable for doing so. And is now the time where women who that has happened to need to speak up, not later on down the line like I did. Of course, I shared with individuals each time it happened, but I swore them to secrecy. And I didn't even know that was in the Bible at the time. It's just that I felt so guilty that it had happened to me that I didn't want them to tell anyone, but I felt the necessity to at least tell my close friend. But it was not the same day. I can't even say that it was the same week or the same month that I got an opportunity to share them. All I know is that I did share with them, that I did tell it, and that I did swear them to secrecy not to tell anyone. And that I went on with my life feeling a certain kind of way because those things looked like they kept repeatedly happening to me. Well, I can honestly say now that I'm 70 and I don't think any man is going to approach a 70-year-old woman. But the bottom line is that in my youth, even before I was a teenager, it happened. And it happened in places where I should have been safe, like cracking open the door in my home at age 12, like working in the church to take care of someone who was sick and dying, and like sitting in a business meeting on my job, it happened. But I can tell you this, I was always cautious, very, very cautious where I went, who I talked to, how, if I was there by myself, how close I was sitting to someone, how close I allowed someone to sit to me, if I was going to be left alone with people. Nobody should have to live like that because you carry that burden with you for a long time. Well, I only wanted to share that with you because I feel that it's important that people know that, yeah, I have sons, and yes, I am concerned that something might happen to one of them. But if I had daughters, I would be frightened to death. Because I know that when I speak with women and we talk about, well, we really don't speak in terms of what they call sexual assault. I don't even think we've ever call it that. To be totally honest, I believe when we were talking, we said things like someone who inappropriately touched you without your permission in an unwanted sexual way. Now, those may not be the exact words, but the key things are unwantedly. You didn't want it. You didn't ask for it. You didn't desire it. You wasn't putting yourself in the position for it to happen. And I don't mean that someone just accidentally bumped into you and their hand or a part of their body approach your body in a way that would be considered sexual. I'm not talking about those accidental bumps and that kind of stuff. I'm talking about someone who deliberately attempts to sexually abuse you. Not necessarily rape you, but it could lead to that. Who knows? If I had not slammed that door, if I had not kneed him and slammed that door, if I had not ran out of that house, if I had not yelled out in that meeting, I doubt very much if he would have raped me there in the meeting, but I really believe that he would have done some things that I did not want to happen to me. So talk to your daughters, talk to your sons. Have that conversation with your husband, with your pertinent other who is male. Talk to people. It's a conversation that must happen. It's a conversation that needs to happen. Because if we don't nip it in the behind now, 20 years from now, my grandchildren will be talking about what someone did to them in an inappropriate sexual manner. So, in all that we do and say, I end this podcast by saying, let's talk baby talk. Thank you for tuning in. Good afternoon. My name is Reverend Diane Holt. I'm the director of Durham's Baby Cafe, located in downtown Buffalo, New York. It's a cloudy day today and not really warm, but considering what it could be this time of year, I am rejoicing. Well, it's been quite a while since I've done the broadcast, Let's Talk Baby Talk, because I've actually been trying to work on looking at how we can make this an audiovisual podcast. And it looks like things are finally beginning to fall into place. So pray for me as I pray for you, because we want to bring you better visual information so that you'll know exactly who's talking and where we are. Well, now, this past 2 weeks have been filled with so much information with regard to the Kavanaugh Senate hearings for his nomination to become a Supreme Court judge. Well, yeah, I do have my opinion, but that's not important at this time. What I want to really talk about with regard to his hearing is that I got an opportunity over the course of the past week to actually listen and watch videos of what the testimony was all about, his testimony and Dr. Ford's testimony. And as I sat there in awe and sometimes in shock as I watched both of them give their testimonies repeatedly, because as we know, the news plays things over and over and over again. But you know what? I see that as something good. And the reason I'm saying that is because by them doing so and me being able to look at all the different news media's take on how they're going to present the information, I think I got a pretty good clear picture of what was taking place there in D.C. Well, anyway, what I want to talk is about the sexual assault piece. Do I believe it occurred? Well, with the testimony that was given, yes, I do. I believe it did happen. And I'll share with you why I believe that happened. About a year ago, I preached a sermon from 2 Samuel, the 13th chapter. And I'll get back to that in a little bit, but I just want you to write that down because I want you to read it. 2 Samuel, the 13th chapter. Okay? Now, in my lifetime, 3 times I have been sexually assaulted. The first time was at age 12. It was a black male, an older family friend, who sort of pushed his way into my home when my parents weren't there. And I felt horribly guilty because I cracked open the door after being told not to open the door to anyone. Well, I heard his voice and I figured, oh, okay, he's safe. I'll crack the door and let him know that mommy and daddy are not home and that he can come back later. And I'll let them know that he had come by. Well, that was a wrong move on my part. When I cracked the door, this man, of course, was stronger than I was. He pushed his way in and he pressed himself up against me and he started touching me in places that I did not want to be touched. But I've always been a fighter all of my life. And I also knew that if he didn't kill me, my parents would. So I need him in his private area. And I was able to push him out of the door and lock the door after doing so. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I was so upset over that. And I blame myself. I didn't blame him. I blame myself because I cracked open the door so that he could push it open. How about that? A 12-year-old blaming herself for what a grown man did. He had to be close to 50 years old at that time. The second time, I was about age 14, and it was a black male, an older male, and he happened to be the pastor of the church that I was going to. His wife was sick, and we were like rotating, and when I say we, there were several females, going in, helping with preparing the meals and cleaning the house because the wife was sick unto death. Eventually she did die. And I had heard rumors about that the pastor got a little fresh at times, but I'm like, he ain't gonna get fresh with me. He ain't know my family. Well, was I wrong? He did more than just get fresh with me. He actually propositioned me. But I had sense enough to run out of there like I was on fire. And I got away from him so that he didn't get an opportunity to follow through on the things that he was telling me that I should be able and should be willing. And because I would be blessing him and God if I did those things. Can you believe that? Woo! And when I got home, I thought about it for a little while. And I said, I put myself in that position because I was told that this man gets fresh. But I kept going back and never said nothing to my parents about it until he approached me. And the third time that it happened, I was age 25. And it was a white male, older, my direct administrative boss. All the rumors went around the agency where I worked that this man got fresh with every nurse in the place. And that if you ended up sitting next to him during a meeting, that he would put his hands on your knees and eventually try to place his hands in places that he should not. Well, I always made sure that I never sat next to this man because I know that people will do things that you do not expect them to do. I had learned by that time. I had two attempts toward me, so I made sure that I never sat near him. Well, one day there was a meeting and we came downstairs and I was a nurse and one of my patients needed something. So I addressed the need of the patient before coming down. So by the time I reached the meeting room, the only seat available was the one directly next to him. So I made sure that I scooted my chair closer to the other young lady who was on the opposite side of me, where I was almost in her lap. And she was sort of smiling and giggling because she knew why I was moving away from him. But he had never approached me, but I was trying to make sure that he would not. But then he adjusted his chair. And the next thing I knew, his hand was on my knee. And I moved that hand off my knee. And he put his hand back on my knee again. And I looked him in his face and I moved his hand off my knee a second time. And then the meeting went on for a little while longer. And then the next thing I know, his hand was back on my knee, moving up my thigh. And I screamed to the top of my lungs, "What is wrong with you? Get your hands from up under my dress." And there was like silence in the room. And the meeting was immediately dismissed. And the owner was in the room at the time. And she said, "The two of you stay." And I love that woman to this day. She said, "What did he do?" And I told her what he did. And she looked at him. He said, "Oh, no, my hand just accidentally fell over into her lap." I said, "Three times?" And she said, "Okay, you can go." Well, I'm happy to share with you that she dismissed him from working there. He no longer was an administrator there. But then still, until about age 36, I kept saying to myself, "Diane, you keep putting yourself in positions where people are approaching you and getting the wrong impression of who you are. Do you have a magnet for perverts, or what the heck are you doing? What's going on that people see you as a target?" And then one day I'm in church and we're reading the Bible and we're in 2 Samuel. And I got an opportunity to just sort of glance a few things there. Because it wasn't expounded upon. And when I went home, I opened up my Bible and I read the entire section. And I'm sitting there saying, wow, even back then, during biblical times, men thought it was okay to approach women in sexual ways that they should not have. Because in 2 Samuel, King David had a daughter named Tamar. And Amnon, her half-brother, became so obsessed with her that he raped her. She did tell her brother Absalom, but you know what he did? He told her, keep it to yourself, that's your brother. And she did. And she was miserable for doing so. And I think I'm taking the time to tell you that when we internalize that kind of garbage, we're miserable for doing so. And is now the time where women who that has happened to need to speak up, not later on down the line like I did. Of course, I shared with individuals each time it happened, but I swore them to secrecy. And I didn't even know that was in the Bible at the time. It's just that I felt so guilty that it had happened to me that I didn't want them to tell anyone, but I felt the necessity to at least tell my close friend. But it was not the same day. I can't even say that it was the same week or the same month that I got an opportunity to share them. All I know is that I did share with them, that I did tell it, and that I did swear them to secrecy not to tell anyone. And that I went on with my life feeling a certain kind of way because those things looked like they kept repeatedly happening to me. Well, I can honestly say now that I'm 70 and I don't think any man is going to approach a 70-year-old woman. But the bottom line is that in my youth, even before I was a teenager, it happened. And it happened in places where I should have been safe, like cracking open the door in my home at age 12. Like working in the church to take care of someone who was sick and dying. And like sitting in a business meeting on my job, it happened. But I can tell you this, I was always cautious, very, very cautious where I went, who I talked to, how, if I was there by myself, how close I was sitting to someone, how close I allowed someone to sit to me, if I was going to be left alone with people. Nobody should have to live like that because you carry that burden with you for a long time. Well, I only wanted to share that with you because I feel that it's important that people know that, yeah, I have sons, and yes, I am concerned that something might happen to one of them, but if I had daughters, I would be frightened to death because I know that when I speak with women and we talk about, well, we really don't speak in terms of what they call sexual assault. I don't even think we've ever call it that. To be totally honest, I believe when we were talking, we said things like someone who inappropriately touched you without your permission in an unwanted sexual way. Now, those may not be the exact words, but the key things are unwantedly. You didn't want it. You didn't ask for it. You didn't desire it. You wasn't putting yourself in the position for it to happen. And I don't mean that someone just accidentally bumped into you and their hand or a part of their body approach your body in a way that would be considered sexual. I'm not talking about those accidental bumps and that kind of stuff. I'm talking about someone who deliberately attempts to sexually abuse you. Not necessarily rape you, but it could lead to that. Who knows? If I had not slammed that door, if I had not kneed him and slammed that door, if I had not ran out of that house, if I had not yelled out in that meeting, I doubt very much if he would have raped me there in the meeting, but I really believe that he would have done some things that I did not want to happen to me. So talk to your daughters, talk to your sons. Have that conversation with your husband, with your pertinent other who is male. Talk to people. It's a conversation that must happen. It's a conversation that needs to happen. Because if we don't nip it in the behind now, 20 years from now, my grandchildren will be talking about what someone did to them in an inappropriate sexual manner. So, in all that we do and say, I end this podcast by saying, let's talk baby talk. Thank you for tuning in.